And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to do a secrets. I love these volumes of secrets because, you know, we can talk about a lot of things. Just go from one subject to another, giving each one, well, not as much attention as they deserve, but enough so you'll understand, well, my mind, and we'll both be clear on the subject, partially at least. And so much is happening in the world. I mean, people are writing to me saying, Tex, it's like a tsunami wave has hit America. Most people are writing to me saying, Tex, America has gone insane. Now, I used to have people write to me and say, I have gone insane. Tex Mars, you've gone insane, the things you're reporting. Well, they don't say that anymore. I have people writing me and phoning me and saying, boy, everything you've been saying makes sense. I have people who say, well, I've been a follower of your ministry for almost 30 years, and I've never known you to you know, make a mistake. Well, that's not true. I've made a number of mistakes. But generally, God has given me the gift where I can see the future. But not always. You know, I've always said there's a difference between a prophecy and a prediction. I can evaluate, analyze the world situations. I'm very, very good at it, and I can make a prediction. But that prediction may not come true. About 90% of the time, it will. And people are sometimes stunned and amazed at Tex Mars' predictions. But if it's not God's prophecy, then it's not guaranteed. And I've made very few prophecies from God, but God has put a few in my heart. And I knew they were going to come true, and they did come true. And I'm just astonished sometime. Now, America is really at a crossroads. And we're going to have to make a choice. Now, this last week, we had a situation where a man, Mateen, an Afghani living in the United States, born in New York, but living there in Orlando, Florida, went into a gay bar, the Pulse, and killed about 50 gays, human beings. And he injured maybe, I don't know, 60 more. This is the largest one-man slaughter and murder in the history of the United States. All because of this Muslim, Mateen. Now, there's all kinds of narratives and bit players and interesting things about this case. But the thing that makes it interesting is it first came out, we were told, that the shooter went in with two guns, a rifle and a pistol. And with the assault rifle that he had, he killed most of the people in there. One after another. And of course, in most states, public places, this was a bar, a gay bar, are called fire-free zones. In other words, they don't allow you to take a gun inside. That's true in probably, I don't know, 48 of the 50 states do not allow you to take a gun, even if you got a license to carry. You can't take it into a bar. It's a shame that they didn't have the right to carry it in, because maybe this man could have been killed after the first three or four people had been shot. Maybe somebody could have pulled out their weapon and blown him away. Sure would have saved a lot of lives, wouldn't it? One incident like that can save, well, who knows, 30, 40 lives, maybe more. But this monster was hysterically laughing, they said. He was hysterically laughing as he blew people's brains out. Now, the interesting thing is we were told that he did it because He was a hater. He hated the gays. That's why he chose a gay nightclub. They say he was infuriated because his kids and he saw two gay men kissing each other one day on the sidewalk, and he decided to get revenge. How dare them kiss right in front of my sons? Well, that would make you a little bit angry, but not enough to kill, of course. Jesus, of course, was very angry at the money changers in the temple, but he didn't kill anybody. He could have. He could have killed all of them with just one word, one thought, but he didn't. Now, the fact is, we defend, but we do not kill aggressively as Christians. We don't do that. The Muslim faith, of course, says kill all Christians unless they convert. Well, this man did not give the Christians even an opportunity to convert. He just went in murdering. Obviously, that's even against Sharia law, a Muslim law, which is Satan's law, really. There's no doubt that Islam is a religion of Satan. Now, my Muslim friends out there, I'm sorry, but it's true. At the same time, Judaism is also a religion of Satan. No doubt about it. And in the Quran, it says, kill all the Christians who don't convert, who refuse to convert. That's the Muslims. The Jews have their own holy book called the Talmud, and they also have the Kabbalah. And both of those books also tell them to kill Christians. And they also don't give you an opportunity to convert. They just kill you. Now, at the end of time, the Jews are told in their Talmud that they're to round up all the Christians and then give them an option. Give us all your property. Give us Jews all your property, all your bank accounts, your houses, all your property, just like we demanded in the Soviet Union in 1917, or you die. Oh, that's not all, fellow Christian. You must also give up your faith. You must renounce Jesus because he is an idol. And idolaters are going to have their heads cut off. You're going to be beheaded. So here's your opportunity. You can choose Judaism, which is Satan, the serpent, or Jesus, in which case you die. And they will kill you themselves. The Jews will kill you. Or their disciples will, the people that they appoint. The Muslims will kill you, or their disciples, the people that they appoint. Now in the Christian religion, we give you a choice too. You choose Jesus, or, well, we don't kill you. There's no command in the Bible that says, go out and kill. In the Talmud, it says the best of the Christians kill. That's one of the commandments in the Talmud, the Jewish Talmud. In the Quran, it says go out and when you meet a Christian, ask them to convert. If they do not convert, kill them. I cannot find anything in the New Testament that says go out, find converts, and kill them if they don't convert. It doesn't say that. That's God's business. We simply preach love. We preach Jesus Christ. The Bible says in no other name can a man be saved. And Jesus himself said, I am the way, the light, and the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. That is the truth. But he's not going to kill you right here on earth if you don't accept him. But you will have your judgment day. But Christians aren't going to kill you. You don't have to worry about us. And any Christians are out there killing people, they're not Christian. They're just fakes. They're monsters, basically. Now, I want to make it plain that this man was a gay. His wife says he was a gay man. Now, the gays are shocked by this because for 2 days they told everybody he was a hater. He hated the gays, and he went in to kill them because they were gay. But now it turns out he himself, the shooter, was a gay man. He had 12 or 13 different applications for gays, you know, where you use the application and you meet other gays and you find out where the gays are going, which bar they're going to meet you, and you, I don't know, they meet and have ungodly sex of all kinds, and he had been asking people out, and they said the man was a known gay. His wife said, yeah, he was gay. Why she married him, I don't know, but he beat her. That's one of the things she testified to. He beat me, she said. And she knew he was going to commit this horrible, heinous crime, but she didn't report it to anybody. So Donald Trump was right. Donald Trump said, we're going to find out that somebody knew about this, but did not report it. Well, she didn't report it. Just like the murders in San Bernardino by the Muslim and his so-called wife, the staged wife. They had bombs all over their house. People would visit there and see the bombs, but they never reported it. What do they think those bombs were for? Well, they knew. They said this guy, when he was in high school as a senior, 9/11 occurred, and he went around bragging about it, smiling and saying, this is great, isn't it? And the FBI must have a file on this guy a mile long. They say he mysteriously visited Saudi Arabia twice. His own father is on cable television in Florida. He has a show there. He did have a show. And what was the show all about? Well, it was an opinion show where he got on and he lambasted America. Now, both his parents are from Afghanistan. They were brought into America as immigrants and they raised this monster, this murderer. But no sooner had they got to America, they started criticizing us. The father even goes on some TV show and says how horrible America is. Why didn't the guy go back to Afghanistan? In fact, they say that a vast majority of the Muslims coming into America hate this country. They complain all the time and they say, we hate this country. It's unfair to the Muslims, blah, 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 blah. Go back home. We never wanted you in the first place. Now, is that cruel for a Christian to say? No, it's not cruel. They have their home. Everybody has a home. They wanted to come over and take up the luxury of America, take up our goods, get a good job. Most of them come over here on welfare. It was recently in the newspaper, it costs $20,000 for the United States to bring them into the U.S. That's just a start. Then we give them a couple years of welfare, free medical care, free phones, food stamps, the whole bit. In fact, they get more than kids of Americans who are out of work, who don't have a job. It's proven. We know now that the immigrants' children get more than our kids. There was a joke going back some years ago. The best way to get on the welfare gravy train was for an American to just go across the border into Mexico. You know, go to the city next door to Juarez or wherever. Just walk across the bridge to the city next door in Mexico, down here in Texas or Arizona or California, New Mexico, and stay for 15 minutes. Stay just long enough to renounce your U.S. citizenship. Well, you were born in America. I was born in Oklahoma. I was born in Florida. I was born in Ohio. That doesn't matter. You go across the border to Mexico and you renounce your U.S. citizenship. Then you just step back across the bridge and say, I'm not an American anymore. I want welfare. I want you to resettle me. So they'll get a big cushy bus, you know, Greyhound or whatever, air conditioned, and they'll resettle you somewhere in the U.S. They'll get you a home. You'll have a free home. Probably a nice condo, or they'll put you up in a really nice place, you and your family. They'll pay for all your food. They'll give you free medical care. You'll probably get $25,000-$30,000 a year, all because you're an illegal immigrant. You came from Mexico in the United States. They're going to treat you fine. I mean, you're going to have it's going to be cushy. But you say, well, I can't do that. I'm an American. Yeah, renounce your citizenship. Now, I don't, there's probably some catch there. I'm sure they make sure that only illegal immigrants from another country get all this gravy. You can't get it if you're an American. Besides that, they're firing people left and right at Disney World, at Apple computers. They're firing Americans and hiring these illegals. Why? Well, the illegals will work for a little bit less. They get paid maybe a dollar an hour in Mexico. Well, they can come and get $10 an hour in the United States. That's 10 times as much. So they're going to come to the United States. Meanwhile, they're going to go home at night, drink their Tecate beer and say, I hate this place. And then when they get paid their $10 an hour check, they'll send maybe, you know, $3 an hour of it, a part of it, 30% or something back to Mexico to their family. They'll write letters, I hate this place. I hate where I'm at. And they're given a car. They're given a license to drive like everybody else. And many of them even vote. They're not supposed to, but they do. Do you get it? They're taking advantage of us. Go back home. Now, I want to explain something to you. These millions of immigrants that have come to the United States, millions, they say there are 40 to 60 million immigrants in the United States right now. 40 to 60 million. We have more immigrants than the whole rest of the world combined. And they're flooding into Europe. They're rooting Europe. They come here, but they hate our country. They don't come here to learn about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. They come here simply for the money. And they hate us. And they say, I hate this Christian law. I hate the judges. I hate everything. I hate the leaders of this country. And they go in the streets at Trump rallies. What do? They fly their Mexican flags, their foreign flags. And they burn the American flag. And if anybody passes by that disagrees with them, they beat them over the head. And the police look on and do nothing, as they did in San Jose, California. Then they blame it on Trump. I'm sick of it, friends. How about you? I'm sick of them. Get out of America. Listen right now. I'm going to tell you right now. I will volunteer. I'll pay my share. I'll pay my share, whatever it costs, to send them home. Let us rent huge tankers, oil tankers. Invite them all. Come on, come on. You hate America? Get on board. We're going to take you back home. And another thing that America can do is quit bombing their home countries. Why do we go over and bomb in Iraq? Why do we go over and bomb in Syria? We know those people are going to be running. They've got to go somewhere. They don't like the bombs that come down on their heads. Why are we going over their country and bombing thousands of miles away? We're doing it for Israel. It is for Israel. Israel wants us to bomb and deconstruct those countries so they can have a greater Israel. They can control the Middle East and all the oil. Well, if Israel wants that, let them do it. But let's stay out of it. Let's come home.
Well, if we did that, they would eventually take Israel.
No, no, no. They're not going to take Israel. Israel is not being attacked by they haven't been attacked by ISIS. They were not attacked by 19 hijackers on 9/11. Did you read that in the paper? Were the big buildings in Tel Aviv, the financial capital of Israel, were they attacked? No. Why not? They're just a minute or two from Damascus, Syria. It would have been easier for the hijackers to get on the plane in Damascus or Cairo or Baghdad. It'd only take 2 minutes, and right there they'd hijack the airplanes, and right away they'd be over the cities of Israel. There could be hundreds of 9/11 attacks in Israel, but there's not. Why isn't there even one? I think I know. In fact, I know. Because the attack on America was not done by the Arabs. It was done by Israel and the United States. And our friends, of course, Saudi Arabia. Why would we bomb ourselves and blame it on somebody else? Why would we do that? Because we want to go back and bomb the country, which was Iraq, that didn't even do it, but we blamed it on them. Bush said, yeah. And his Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, said, well, we're going to have mushroom clouds all over America. How could we have mushroom clouds? How could we have atomic clouds? They didn't have any atomic weapons. And if they did have an atomic bomb, I've said over and over, how are they going to get it to America? You can't tie it on your back and swim across the Atlantic. across the Mediterranean with a bomb on your back. It can't be done. The fact is they had no weapons of mass destruction. We went in and we took their oil.
Oh, well, that helped us, didn't it? All that oil?
No, it didn't help us. Oil was selling at $100 a barrel on the world market. What did the United States do with the Iraqi oil? Well, we built pipelines going to the Mediterranean, and we put it on big oil tankers there, and we sold it for $2 a barrel to Red China. That's right. Red China benefited by buying the Iraq oil from the United States for $2 a barrel. What kind of deal is that? We spend thousands of lives, trillions of dollars to attack Iraq, and once we've conquered it, we take their oil, and we build pipelines, and we take the oil and ship it to Red China, and they pay us $2 a barrel, and they're getting $100 a barrel on the world market for it. Where does America get anything in this? We got nothing. Do you see what's happening, friends? You need to get my video about this, about the Red China situation. It's called Die, America, Die. It has the facts on that. It'll show you all the newspaper accounts, everything. $2 a barrel, that's what we sold it to Red China. We didn't get the oil here in the United States. We don't need any oil. We're awash in oil, by the way, friends. They're closing up the spigots in America. We got more oil than we need, more gas than we need. Well, I guess that's my rant for today. I hope you agree with me. Now, some people say, well, I'm a Christian. I should welcome everybody. No, that's not true. No, that's not true. You should preach to everybody. And I think you should treat everybody fairly. You don't go bomb them. You don't go kill them. You don't make up pretext for invading their country. Stay out of their business. What we should have said was missionaries over there. You say, well, they'll kill us. They kill missionaries. Yeah, and when we bring those people over here, they kill our people too. They're going to kill whether we send missionaries over there or whether we bring them to this country. But why should we pay $20,000 a person for an illegal immigrant, or, well, they're legal if we bring them over, for an immigrant from Syria or Iraq, knowing that when they get over here, they're going to build a mosque, they're going to hate our country, and a certain number of them are going to plant bombs and use weapons to go in and kill our people. Innocence. Why should we bring them into this country? They've got their own country. You know, we have spent, I was reading recently, it is estimated $4 trillion on war since George W. Bush plotted his big attack on Iraq. $4 trillion. Friends, do you know how much money that is? $4 trillion? We could have bought the whole Middle East for that much. We could have bought it. $4 trillion. It's ridiculous. Well, let's go on with the news. All right. You know, I was reading about a poor lady. Let me just say this before I go on. A poor lady in Great Britain who was of the opinion that we should love these immigrants. And she determined, she was a single lady, in her 40s. She had a very pleasant home, very nice life, had retirement income coming in. And so she wanted to show her love for the immigrants. And so she went to this immigrant center where these immigrants were coming in, and she asked around, and she invited a Muslim man into her home. Come stay with me till you get settled, she said. And he did. And about a week later, she was dead. He strangled her. He raped her. Friends, if somebody is deadly, you don't have to befriend them. You don't have to take them in. You've got your children to consider. You've got your wife, your husband to consider. The Bible says that if you don't take care of your family, you are an infidel. Do you know what an infidel is? It's a person that's going straight to hell. A person who's rejected the truth. Don't be an infidel. You say, well,
I've got to love them. Can't we all just get along? No. They don't believe in our law system. They have something called Sharia law. They hate you. They hate your family. And look, you are an infidel if you don't protect your family. It is not discrimination for you to leave them at their, in their home country. If they hate it here, don't bring them to a place they're going to hate. They love their country, so let them stay in their country. And they can practice their religion and they can do anything they want. If you want to help them, then send them missionaries. Send them literature. Send them Bibles. Send them the truth. Don't bring them into your home. And America is our home. Don't bring them into our home. And don't listen to these homosexual liberals out there, these so-called progressives. Don't listen to Barack Obama. They're bringing America down. Well, how about this? Trump refused $200 million. He did? Yes. He was offered $200 million. What was he supposed to do? Well, Sheldon Adelson, the casino mogul from Las Vegas, got the word to Trump that he had $100 million to give Trump. And his friends would give an additional $100 million. And what did Trump have to do? Well, he had to choose a vice president that they wanted him to choose. And they had a particular man ready to go, Newt Gingrich. They said, pick Newt Gingrich as your vice president, and we will pay you $200 million. Seems to me, they're Jews now, Sheldon Adelson. Seems to me he knows that Trump is going to win. He knew that Trump is going to win. He's going to be our president. And Sheldon Adelson, this Jew, is willing, and his friends are willing to pay $200 million. I call it a bribe. You can call it what you want to. What are they spending $200 million for? They were going to give it to Trump. All he had to do was to choose Newt Gingrich as his running partner, as the vice president of the United States. And guess what? According to this news report put out by the Tea Party, teaparty.org, Trump refused. He said, nobody's going to tell me who to pick as vice president. I guess he's not going to pick Newt Gingrich. And the next thing you know, Newt Gingrich was angry. Remember that? Then when Trump said something about that Mexican judge on the Trump University case, Newt Gingrich just exploded. How dare him? That's inexcusable. Trump is a bigot. Now, he didn't say bigot, but he said basically the same thing. He just got the word. Trump wasn't going to take $200 to make him the president, a vice president, that is. Well, maybe that was a Freudian slip, because if you're the president, you got to pick the right vice president, or else you get shot one day, you get assassinated, and then guess what? The vice president becomes president. Maybe that's what they wanted. I'm not saying they did, but maybe. I'm just thinking. Newt Gingrich is a big Zionist. He says the Palestinians don't even exist. People are inventing Palestinians. They don't even exist. That's how stupid and evil Newt Gingrich is. And that's why Trump wouldn't pick him, of course. Well, we're going to have a lot more when we return. We'll be right back. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Morris. This is another volume of Secrets. Hello again, friends. Tex Morris here. You know, I had a letter from a nice gentleman, and he said, Dear Tex, you do good, but I'm disappointed in your refusal to help enlighten us on the current apostolic movement that is deceiving so many folks, specifically the self-appointed apostles, prophets, so forth, in the Pentecostal movement. Why don't you ever speak about these things? Well, I have, probably more so than any pastor in the United States. I want to tell you today about just one of the items that we offer here. Of course, you can get our video called The Blind and the Dead. The Blind and the Dead. Pictures of all of these people, and it shows exactly what they are. And I give you the Bible verses of what they're preaching. The blind and the dead exposes these false teachers. I have written a whole book just published this last year entitled Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Get that book. It's an amazing book. Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Well over 200 pages. Order that book. And then finally, I have a tape and CD series. Let's see. This is entitled Smooth Tongues for a Rough Beast. Unholy Deceivers in the Christian Church Today. And here you're going to see exposed Billy Graham, Jack Van Impe, Paul Crouch, Hal Lindsey, Robert Schuller, Catholic priests, and many, many others, all in this book. You'll actually hear them talking. You'll hear them as they give their doctrines, their teachings, which are of satanic impact. And I want you to know the truth, so you're going to hear me giving you what the Bible says. Smooth tongues for a rough beast. But call on these items and ask us what the prices are. And order one of the, or more of these things. Again, the book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild by Tex Mars. There's the audio tape or CD set, Smooth Tongues for a Rough Beast. And then there's the video, The Blind and the Dead. And you'll see, dear friend, that I have exposed these people. And as God would have it, I'm going to continue to expose them. And I want to remind you of my new book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. You can get it for $20 plus $5 shipping and handling simply by phoning toll free. Get any of these items, but especially my new book. Wow. It's a shocking book. It is a shocker. You know, it took me many years of research because the Jews, they don't tell Gentiles what they're doing. And you know, I just never did want to dress like a Jew, act like a Jew, and go in and deceive them in their synagogues. You know, I just don't do that. So I went to all of their reading, their instruction. I went to the Talmud. I went to the Kabbalah. And I found out what the Jewish rabbis are teaching about these things. And what I found out was unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, I'd read that back in the ancient days in Babylon, down in Central and South America, in Egypt, they worshiped the serpent. And I thought, well, who would stupidly do something like that? Well, the Jews would. The rabbis teach that the serpent is holy. And what he did with Adam and Eve in the garden was good. He put them on the road to godhood, didn't he? Well, this defies what the Bible says, but the Jews don't worry about the Bible. They have their Talmud. They have their Kabbalah. Unbelievable. They worship the serpent. I quote rabbi after rabbi after rabbi. You don't believe me? Okay. I'm an anti-Semite. I'm a bad boy. I'm a guy you can't trust, Tex Mars. Don't listen to anything he says. Well, get this book and see all the quotes by Jewish leaders themselves. And I mean the top Jews in the world. The top Jews in the world, the rabbis. What are they saying? The Jew is our helpmate. The serpent. The serpent is our helpmate. The serpent is our companion. The serpent is our servant. He is going to uplift us. He is going to make us into the world gods, the world rulers of the world in the new Jewish kingdom to come. In the last days, we will kill all of the Gentiles and take their property. How can we do that? Because we have the power of the serpent. We are the people of the serpent. Wow. The Jews, many of them actually pray to the serpent. How do you do that? You get down on your knees, you pray to the serpent? Wow, that's incredible. This is the year 2016. What kind of religion prays to the serpent? Well, Judaism. They're not going to tell you. Go in a synagogue and say, do you pray to the serpent? They'll laugh at you. Well, no, we don't. You stupid Gentile. They lie. They're taught to lie. If they were to teach you their Talmud, it says, the Talmud itself says the Jewish man who teaches a Gentile about the Talmud is worthy of death. They're worthy of death just for teaching you what the Talmud says. Well, why do you think they have that kind of rule? Why would the Talmud forbid teaching it? I mean, you know what Jesus says? Go forth and teach the nations the gospel. Teach them, everyone. I mean, we read in the New Testament, none of it was done in secret. None of it was, everything was done in public. Every doctrine of Jesus Christ can be known. You can go to the Bible and read about it. Now, you might read and you don't understand. Then ask God to reveal it to you. If he doesn't, it's because you're not fit to be in the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, but that is true. Maybe you're reading it so you can find out some bad stuff. I'm gonna say bad things about the Bible. You know, Madeline Murray O'Hare, the head of the American Atheist Foundation, she said, I read the Bible because I like all of the sex in it. I like the sex parts. She was abusing the Bible. There are a few things about sex in there, but let me tell you something, my friends. It shows you very clearly what happens to the man or woman who concentrates on sex. Put God first and everything will happen good in your life, friends. That's what it says. God first. But she wanted sex. Let me see what the Bible says about sex. Well, it said something in Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't it? About sex. About those who were promoting sex. Homosexual sex. Unclean sex. It says they were destroyed. But I don't think Madeline Murray read that part. She should have. She ended up dead. Shot in the head, her body cut into pieces. She and her daughter and her son, all three of them were murdered. That's what her fate was, my friends. She was the one who said the Bible is a lie. The Bible teaches you about sex. Boy. Wow. Did she ever pay for that? Okay. Here's how to get these books, this video, and this audio tape series. Simply phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, or go to our website, TexMars.com or PowerOfProphecy.com. You can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our regular program. We're looking at some secrets today. You know, in Switzerland this past week, something incredible happened. They had a big tunnel. I think they call them tunnels now. A huge tunnel. I think it's 35 miles long. It's the longest tunnel in the world. Cars go through it and everything. It goes under the huge Alpine mountains in Switzerland. Okay? It connects up with a train system going into Germany. It's the longest, the deepest train tunnel on the planet. And they use these giant round boring machines, and it's taken them years to build this. Well, they had a big ceremony. You know, to cut the ribbon. You know how we do in America? We cut the ribbon, and people, you know, sometimes they, you know, break a bottle of champagne or something. I don't know what they do. Say little things, compliment each other, the builder and the mayor and all that. Well, they did all those things, but went a lot further. They had a huge celebration, an incredible celebration. It was on TV all over Europe. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the celebration. They had actors. They had a performance. It was like several plays in one. I mean, it's like going to Broadway, but seeing these incredible productions for the opening of the tunnel. The Illuminati must have planned this, and boy, were they ever excited. Here's some of the things it included. First, these slaves dressed in these orange prison outfits came and marched. Boom, 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 boom. Like dolts. Like it was 1984. And then came women. Women dressed like harlots. And they were. And they had lesbian sex together all over the stage and all over the entrance of the channel. And everybody was laughing and screaming and talking about how wonderful it was to see all these women, these actors having, actresses that is, having sex with one another. Lesbian sex. And then a huge train platform came forth. And who was on it but a man, I guess he was a man, dressed like a huge goat, Baphomet, the devil goat, half man, half devil. And he stood on his hind legs and he opened his hoof like horns. And all the people were all around him and they all bowed before him. And oh, great Baphomet. Wow. And they had orchestras and music and this goat swam around all over the platform and the people bowed down and they had sex together and there were orgies and it was incredible. A public celebration. Hundreds of people, political officials from throughout Europe. And then came out a winged creature. And he went up to the goat and they were friends. This winged creature had black eyes. And she, I guess it was a man-she combination, had her breast exposed. And she was evidently the son of the devil, of the horned goat god. And then things went crazy as half-naked dancers doing spooky as moves and tossing out white powder. And like zombies and worker drones, they crowded around these two creatures from hell. And people used to say that Tex Mars was crazy to report such. This is what the world has become. This made the people of Europe happy. My goodness gracious. Well, the Jewish neocons, they've suffered a little bit under Donald Trump recently. He's really criticized, you know, William Kristol and all the other neocons in America, the Jewish neocons. Of course, they control the Bush administration, and they told him to go in and bomb Iraq, and he did. Now, recently, these neocons, Jonah Goldberg is one of them, many others, they're putting out information that the Republicans cannot stand America first, because that's what Donald Trump says, America first. And politicians have not used that slogan for over 40 years. Over 40 years, none have used America first. That's a no-no. You see, the Jews want everything to come together as one. No more borders. America to be finished. No more sovereignty. And my goodness, Donald Trump says, I'm going to build a wall. They don't want a wall. They want to tear down whatever little piece of wall is there. The Jewish neocons. The Jews don't consider themselves white. They consider themselves Jewish. They say they're a totally different body. They're a total DNA different type of species. They say we're a special species. Our flesh and blood is different. We're not white people, we're Jews. And America must change. America must bring in all the browns and the blacks. And America must go downhill. There will be fewer and fewer whites. And we'll take your jobs and we'll give them to the foreigners. We'll put you in your place. We'll tell you about white privilege. And when you complain, we'll call it a microaggression. Oh, yes. We've got our new words, our politically correct words. And these Jewish Republicans, they're called neocons. They're never really Republicans, but, well, I guess they are. You know, what is the Republican Party? Can you find any difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party? No. I mean, Paul Ryan's a House Speaker, the highest ranking, I guess, other than Senator McConnell, majority leader in the Congress, in the Senate. He's a Republican too. But Paul Ryan says we need to bring in more Muslims. That's what he said. We need more Muslims in America. Open the floodgates. That's what he said. We need them in. We need these Muslims. These immigrants, bring them in. And the Jewish neocons who are Republicans say, instead of Trump, we're going to find a third party candidate. And if we don't, we're going to vote for Hillary. They're going to vote, they say, for Hillary Clinton, the Jewish neocons. Oh, yes. But wait. She's going to give us three or four. If she's elected president, she will appoint three or four members of the Supreme Court by the time she gets out of office. And they're going to tilt the court toward the liberals. And it's already a four. There are eight members of the Supreme Court. There should be nine. Eight members. Four conservatives and four liberals. Four are for abortion, four are against. Wow. One more Supreme Court judge who's a liberal, and guess what? It'll be abortion every time. 5-4 vote. 5-4 vote. That's all they need. But what if they get three judges? Then they'll probably control the Supreme Court for the next 20, 25 years. Boy, they'll take away our Second Amendment. They'll say, well, the Second Amendment really doesn't say that. It says something else. And they'll take away your guns. I mean, they've already said same-sex marriage. That's in the Constitution. Well, I can't find it. You know, I'm sorry, but I used to teach the Constitution back when I was a college professor. I taught the Constitution. I taught American and state government. I taught Introduction to Political Science. And, you know, I never saw that in the Constitution. They made it up. They said this is Constitution. And, of course, homosexuality. That's constitutional. They make all these things up, and now they're saying transgenders, men going into women's bathrooms is perfectly okay. And grown men getting naked and going into little girls' shower rooms. Showers! That's okay too. And the Charlotte Observer, a newspaper of a bunch of perverts, the largest newspaper in Charlotte, in the Carolinas, says to young girls and their mothers, you're just going to have to get used to seeing male genitalia in a shower room. Ha, ha, ha. Really? These are Jewish neocons bringing us all this trash. And they want Hillary. They want to make sure these atrocities stay in. They want to make sure we don't go back. We don't renounce these things. We don't, you know... They want the horrors to continue, and they will continue. Now, I want to give you my opinion on all this. If Hillary is elected, and she may well be, right now it's about 50-50. And we really can't be sure that Trump will support the Christian ideals. We pray that he will. Certainly he'll be better than Hillary. But many of the Republican Party say, I'm going to vote for Hillary. I hate Trump. Okay. Then you'll get Hillary. You know, I go along with the Bible. In 2 Corinthians, it says, and be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's Satan. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That's 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 and 15. The Bible tells us, don't be unequally yoked together with them. Now, I read that Glenn Beck, the Mormon talk show host, in addition to saying we need to kill, well, I'd like to stab Donald Trump. I'd stab him until he was dead. Hey, the man ought to go to prison for saying that. But he didn't. They let him go. Because they believe the same thing. They'd like to see Trump dead also. Glenn Beck said that, but recently when this incident occurred there in Florida where the shooter, the gay Muslim jihadi, killed those 50 people, shot them, Glenn Beck was led to say on his radio program, I want to send a special hug to the gay community throughout America. I want to send a special hug to the gay community throughout America to tell them I love them and that everything is going to be okay. They're scared now. They're afraid for what happened. I want to send them a hug, a loving hug. You know, can you, friends, find that in the Bible somewhere? When we find instances of sin, we find that Jesus, Paul, Peter, confronted these things. When Ananias and her husband lied about their possessions, lied to the church, Peter said to them, basically, you've lied. These things, this money was in your possession. You could have kept it. But you said you were going to donate it to the church, but you didn't. You're liars. And this very moment, he told Ananias, your worm, that is, your body's going to eat you up. And she died. She died instantly. They wrapped her body in a rug and took her out. The Apostle Paul was told by mail, by long distance, about an incestual affair at a church. But the members that were committing incest, they continued on in the church. He said, excommunicate them, get them out of your church. If they don't change, if they don't repent, they're gone. Get them out of the church. They can't stay. He said, I'm not even there and I've already judged them. What? You didn't go there? You didn't set up a special commission? You didn't have a judge and a jury, and you didn't have, all these witnesses come in and give all these different accounts, and you didn't tell the socially acceptable reasons why incest was needed, and you didn't, No, he wrote and he said, I've heard this case. I know it's true. Kick him out of your church. And if you don't, well, God will pay you. God will take care of this. I have judged him and I'm not even there with you. Boy, the Christians were just cruel, weren't they? They were harsh. No, they weren't. They knew what was good. They knew what would make the church grow. At one point, all the churches took all of their occultic books, satanic books. Oh, they had them back then. All these magical books that we have today in these new age and regular bookstores. You can order them on Amazon. There's hundreds of them. They took all their books of the curious arts, it's called. The curious arts. All their occultic books. They took them and they had a big bonfire and burned them all. Ooh, they were book burners. But what does the next verse say in the New Testament, in the book of Acts? It says, and the church grew mightily. Wow. You mean they burned their occultic books, put them in a big bonfire, all the people brought up and burned their books, and the church grew? That's right. Don't have anything to do with Jewish neocons. Now I want to tell you about a man named Russell Moore. He's head of the Religious and Ethics Commission, I think, Religious Life and Ethics Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's the most powerful official in the Southern Baptist Convention. He was a pastor at a big mega church. And now this Southern Baptist guy, Russell Moore, is the head of this Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, headquartered in Washington, D.C. He's a full-time bureaucrat for the Southern Baptist Church. Well, Russell Moore is now building new buildings. Mosque. Muslim mosque. He says, we Baptists need to show our love for the Muslims. How? By helping them to build mosques. Friends, when I was a young boy, I don't think we had over 10 mosques in the whole United States. Now I understand we've got over 3,000 mosques throughout the United States. 3,000 Muslim mosques. He says we need more. It's a matter of religious liberty. We want to show our love for the Muslims. Help them to build their mosque. I'm going to take the tithes and offerings from Baptists across America, the Southern Baptists, and we're going to give them to the Muslims to help them build new Muslim mosques. It's only Christian thing to do. Wow. Well, some flabbergasted Baptist asked Pastor Moore, what about the witches? They need buildings for their witchcraft sessions, for their Wicca churches. How about the Satanists? Church of Satan. They need Church of Satan temples in America. Why don't you just take Baptist money and pay for them too? He says, that's a splendid idea. Russell Moore said, that's a great idea. Why not do it for everybody? Now, if you're a Southern Baptist and you give money in the offering plate, a little bit of that money goes to build Muslim mosque. And Russell Moore says, well, we should also give to build new satanic temples, to build new witchcraft houses of worship. Is this man going insane? Are you crazy? Are you staying in a Southern Baptist church? Get out. Get out while you have time. I'm telling you, you don't have much time. We're running close here, friends. Jesus is coming back. He is not going to allow you to spend your Baptist money, your so-called Christian money, to build a temple to Satan, a temple to witchcraft, a temple to the Muslim God, Allah and Muhammad, who are fakes, who are a hoax, who are sending millions to hell. If you do this, if you support Pastor Russell Moore's project, it's not just him, he has a whole committee that meets. The Southern Baptists vote on this every year at their big messengers convention. 15,000 or 16,000 go there. Laymen, pastors, they vote on these kind of things. If you allow this, if you give your money to, I'd cut my money off right now. Well, where would I go to church? Well, go to Bible Home Church. Go to it, BibleHomeChurch.org. That's our church here. If you don't like what we preach, then get a little congregation at your home. Get two or three people together. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst thereof. Jesus said that. You don't need a big church. Have a home church. But you got to get out. You got to get out, friends. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's what you're doing. You're paying for their evil churches. I recently received a letter from my good friend, Steve. Steve said, Dear Tex, by the way, Steve is a fine Christian man. I've been communicating with him for many years. I'm going to end with this because it's very, very, very important. He said, Dear Tex, this is absolutely true. I just woke from a dream where George Washington had his throat cut. In my dream, he was sitting on his horse, hands tied behind his back, his white hair gently flowing in the wind. Someone came up with a knife and slit his throat. The blood gushed out of the thin line where the knife had made a slit. I suddenly awoke. America, let me tell you, someone had better start doing something, and fast. This is truly a warning dream for America. Everyone just watched as George Washington bled, and no one did anything for him. I believe Steve really did have this dream. George Washington sitting on his horse, hands tied behind his back, his white hair gently flowing in the wind. Somebody came up with a knife and slit his throat, and everyone watched and did nothing. America, let me tell you, right, Steve, someone had better start doing something, and fast. I believe this was a message from God. George Washington symbolized the United States of America and its people. Our throat is being cut by the Richard Moores, by the Barack Obamas, by these heathen progressives and liberals, and even these so-called conservatives. Our throat is being cut, and we're doing nothing about it. I'm Tex Morris. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My fervent prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.